All right, take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, please. It's on page 1076. Jonah chapter 1. I'll begin reading in the first verse, and we will read the whole chapter here. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah..." Notice it doesn't say, "and Jonah." It says, "but Jonah." "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." I want to speak to you from this chapter tonight, and I want to entitle the sermon this evening, Running from God. Running from God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for what we have been able to enjoy this evening. Thank you, Lord, for these graduates. Thank you for their families. And Father, we're thankful for all the hard work and effort that they have put into this degree. And now, Lord, I ask that you will bless the music that we have heard. I pray that our hearts are now prepared to receive thy word. That, Lord, you will bless now as the word of God is preached. How we thank you for this great book that's in our Old Testament, and how we can relate to so many aspects of this book. And Father, I pray that you'll help us this evening now as we think on Jonah and how he tried to run from what was your will for his life. And Father, help us to learn tonight that you can't run from God. Help us, Father, I pray, and fill me with your Spirit and bless during the message. In Jesus' name and amen. A couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, I preached to you out of Jonah chapter 3 and chapter 4 on how Jonah got angry with God when the people of Nineveh repented and then God spared them of the judgment that he said he was going to do because of their sin. And tonight, I want us to look at this first chapter and speak to you about Jonah running from the Lord. God had a will for Jonah. He had something he wanted Jonah to do. And Jonah ran from the will of God. Apart from this little four-chapter book in our Old Testament, apart from this book, we know very little about Jonah. His name means dove. And ironically, it's the same name as another famous man who sailed the oceans in 1492 and discovered what is today the United States of America. The name Columbus means dove. Columbus was obeying God's leading while Jonah was refusing God's leading at every step. But both of them, their name means dove. I thought that was interesting. We know that Jonah was born in a little village in Galilee, just about a mile to the north of the little of the town of Nazareth. He was born in a little village called Gath-Hepher, H-E-P-H-E-R. It's only about a mile away from Nazareth. And ironically, the marked tomb of Jonah is still there today. Can you not picture the Lord Jesus walking through the little village of Gath-Hepher and listening as the old timers would tell Jonah's story? And I'm sure the Lord could have told that story better than any of them. We also get a brief glimpse of Jonah in the book of 2 Kings chapter 14, when God sent him to King Jeroboam the second with the joyous news of a coming victory in battle. And the only other times that Jonah is mentioned in the scripture is in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus made two references to him in the Gospels. Now, there's one other thing. You hear that microphone popping. Is that me or is that this thing? Put me on this. Let me turn this. Oh, you turned it off, didn't you? Okay. Is it still popping? Okay, good. Oh, that drives me crazy. And that's not a far drive. I thought I'd say it before Jim Boyer did. All right, the other thing about Jonah that I want to call to your attention is this. I like to go back and read and find out what legend says about all these Old Testament characters. And there's a legend, a Jewish legend about Jonah that is very interesting. The legend says that Jonah was the son of the widow of Zarephath. Now, that's all it is legend. Is it true? I do not know. But you remember that widow of Zarephath had a son who died. And the prophet went in and laid over top of that boy, and he came back to life. That's interesting, is it not? And if it is true, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it is true, that means that Jonah died and was brought back to life by Elijah and returned to his mother, and then he died again in the belly of the great fish. You say, you mean Jonah died down there? I thought God spit him out on dry ground. Yes, resurrected. He died. How could you get swallowed by a whale and survive that? You couldn't. You say, well, then that makes it even a bigger miracle than I thought. Yes, indeed, it does. When he was swallowed by the fish, he died. That's the picture. As Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the heart of, or as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale, even so Christ, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And as Jonah was resurrected, Jesus was resurrected. And so think of that. If this legend is true, then he died once and was resurrected. He died a second time in the whale and was resurrected when the whale beached itself and vomited him up on the dry ground. Now, is this legend true? I have no idea. But we do notice that the boy's name is never given in the story in the book of Kings. That's interesting to me. I have no idea if it is true. But the legend then goes on to say that he was the man who was sent by Elijah to anoint Jehu to be the king in Israel. Now, we do know that Jonah is the central figure in the book that bears his name. And in this first chapter, we see God calling him eastward to Nineveh to preach the gospel and to tell them of God's impending judgment. We see Jonah, however, running in the opposite direction. Now, just for sake of seeing it for yourself, right here is Israel, and over here is Nineveh, and you've got the Mediterranean over here, and Tarsus was due east or due west of Israel, all the way across the Mediterranean on the shores of what is today Spain. So all the way over, not talking about Tarsus in Turkey, but Tarshish, which was over in Spain. And so here is God calling him eastward to Nineveh. But instead of going eastward, we see Jonah running to the west to get as far away from God as he could get. Tarshish was a Phoenician trading post that was established years before, all the way across the Mediterranean on the shores of Spain, running from God. Oh, Jonah found out that is a real bad idea. You don't run from God. You can't do it. And I want you to notice that Jonah never made it to Tarshish. As the ship got out into the Mediterranean, the winds came sweeping down from the hills where Jonah thought he had said farewell to God. And we know the rest of the story. And I find it interesting that even in a hurricane, Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the ship. You know, some Christians are so backslidden on God, a hurricane doesn't even get their attention. And Jonah was asleep while everyone else was fighting for their lives. Do you remember another who slept on a ship when the sea was raging? And yet when he was awakened, he calmed the angry sea. But the lot was cast, and the lot fell on Jonah. And at the end of this chapter, he was thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale, and then delivered miraculously from death And all of us know Jonah's story. Now, there are three things that I call to your attention from this passage of Scripture. There are three things that I want to just, three little principles, so to speak, that I want to pull out of this chapter and apply them to our hearts tonight. Three things that I saw when I read this chapter. Number one, it is foolishness to try to run from God. It's just foolish. You cannot do it. I want you to pay special attention to how Jonah ran from God. He did not go on foot. He did not go on foot. He did not try to run away from God on land. But he went down to Joppa, to the coast, and he got on a ship, and his idea was to get on that ship and go the other direction as fast as that ship would take him to get him away from God. This shows you just how desperate Jonah was to get away from the Lord. The thinking was just to put as much distance between himself and Nineveh as he possibly could. If he had left on land, he would have had to go north, or he would have had to go south. But by getting on a ship, he could quickly put the distance between himself and the place where God was calling him. And his desperation is also seen in the fact that he was willing to get on a ship. You see, back in these days, back in Bible times, the sea was viewed by the Jews as some mysterious vast chasm. They wanted nothing to do with it. The Jews were not seafaring people. They were farmers and they were sheep herders. They were not seafaring people. And it was not, there was no romance or no poetry in the sea. It was a barrier between the known and the unknown as far as the Jews were concerned. You knew what the land held for you, but you did not know what the sea held for you. And so they stayed on the land. And for a land-loving Jew of his own choice, get on a ship and sail off into the sunset, that shows just how desperate Jonah was to get away from God. As I was reading what others had to say about this, one of the commentators said that he read where the Jews saw the sea as a devouring dragon. They didn't like the sea, and they stayed off of it as much as they could. But in Jonah's mind, the sea was the quickest way to separate himself from God's best. And God's best for Jonah was that Jonah go to Nineveh. But he sought to escape God's best, and his means of escape was by way of the sea. But we see just how useless his effort was. For the mighty hand of God reached out and touched his life in a dramatic way. And Jonah found out that you cannot run away and hide yourself from the Lord. Jonah was under the belly of the ship, probably alone, and no doubt thought that he was completely away from God and outside of God's reach. But he learned that it is impossible to run away from God. I like what the psalmist said on this subject. He said, "If I go up into heaven, lo, thou art there." He said, "If I go down to hell, thou art there." He said, "If I take wings and fly to the uttermost parts of the world, there the Lord can be found." And so you cannot flee from God. And Jonah learned that it is impossible to run away from the Lord. Have you ever tried to run away and hide from the Lord? Have you ever tried that? Well, I don't mean by that that you ran off to the sea, but then again, maybe you did run off to the sea trying to get away from God. Maybe you did run in the opposite direction of where God wanted you to go. But have you ever tried to hide from God? Maybe you've tried to hide from God by using excuses. Oh, yeah, a lot of folks do that. Maybe you tried to hide from God by throwing your job up there in front of God. Lord, I can't work for you. I can't do anything for you because of my job. My job is just preventing me from working for you. Lord, I would do this or I would do that, but I just don't have time. And I say it again, if you don't have time to serve the Lord, you're too busy. You're just too busy and you need to prioritize and get some things lined out in your life. There are some folks that try to hide from God by running to the world. Man, these pews used to occupy a lot of people through the years who are now out running from God in love with the world. Sad. I was thinking the other day that if everybody, this coming Thanksgiving will be 17 years I've been the pastor here. 17 years. As of when was it, David? You were telling me first week in April. First week in April. As of the first week in April, I surpassed Dr. Smith's tenure here, and now I am the longest serving pastor at the Church of the Open Door. Amen. Didn't I just get here a couple of months ago? I mean, it seems like it. My, where has 17 years gone? It's just amazing to me. But I was thinking the other day, if everybody who has walked through these doors in the last 17 years, just the last 17 years, I'm not even talking about Dr. Smith's 17 years, but if everybody who has walked through these doors and has knelt at these altars, or who has walked into that baptistry and has had their name called from this pulpit, if everybody who has been in this church and has seen the Church of the Open Door as their church, if every one of them were here tonight, there would not be room to put the cars in the parking lot or in the grass, nor would there be room to put the people inside this auditorium. Where are all these people? Well, I tell you, a lot of them are running from God. And I know that because I see them out in the community. And when I see them out in the community, many of them act like they don't see me. Because they know they're not where they should be and doing what they should be doing.
That's right.
You can't outrun God, dear friend. If you want to know that, then you just try to run from God. And you will find out, as did Jonah, that it is the height of foolishness to try to run away from the Lord. God always finds you. Always. There's a second principle that I want you to see from this chapter. Secondly, I want you to notice how the disobedient puts others in danger. I can see Jonah smiling from ear to ear as he boarded that ship, thinking that he had outwitted God. He probably laid down his bag and took a handkerchief and wiped his brow and said, "Whew, I made it." But little did he know what his rebellion against the Lord was doing to others. He didn't know these men, but surely he would never have wanted to harm them. And even though they were heathens in his mind, who knew nothing of Jehovah God, Jonah would not for the world want to do anything to bring a bit of harm upon any one of those sailors. The truth is, they were doing a very kind and gracious thing to let him stow away on their ship. And the storm came up, and boy, when it did, it got violent. The wind howled and the waves began to crash, and these experienced Phoenician sailors were working as hard as they could to keep from losing their ship and all of them drowning in the sea. And they started to throw off the cargo, and they did all they could to lighten the ship and so they could handle it better. And they were fighting what surely they thought was a battle they were going to lose. And it was all because of Jonah's disobedience. It felt like a curse upon the innocent. Like the entire nation of Israel who suffered a humiliating loss at the little town of Ai. All because of one man's disobedience when Achan stole from the city of Jericho. And I'm not sure God works like this any longer, showing his anger and wrath to one man through a storm with howling winds. But we should all be careful that the calls of God that we reject don't come like a plague upon our shipmates. We better be careful there. Let me show you what I mean. Folks, it is sure that our running from the will of God is going to impact those around us. You can't run from God, Dad, and it not affect your children. You can't rebel against God, Mom, and it not rub off on your children. They're going to be impacted by that. If a mother is unfaithful, her unfaithfulness is going to impact her home. If a father is unfaithful, he cannot expect a happy voyage for those he loves. If a teenager runs from God and becomes rebellious against mom and dad and starts doing some foolish things with his behavior, you mark it down, teenager, the whole family suffers because of your rebellion against God. And you will not be the only one who is impacted and has to deal with the consequences of your rebellion. I had a teenager one time tell me, "Hey, it's nobody's business what I do." Yes, it is, my friend. Because your rebellion is going to impact the two people in this world that love you most, and that's mom and dad. The plight of Jonah is a call from God to all of us. And we should read Jonah's story and realize that the sea becomes wild and deadly for others when we disobey the Lord. How many broken-hearted parents carry the weight of the world upon their shoulders because they have a Jonah in their family? Man, I've seen it, and so have you. And then there's a third thing I want you to see. And that third principle is this. The hour comes when our true character is revealed. It eventually comes. I want you to see a boat dock in Joppa in your mind's eye. Some of you have been with me to Israel and you've been to Joppa. I want you to picture a little dock and a boat loaded, the men working hard to load that boat. And all of a sudden, here comes Jonah. Jonah did not know these Phoenician sailors, and they did not know him. Complete strangers. And yet when Jonah took out his money bag, he was welcome aboard. And Jonah, being a Jew, and these guys being Phoenicians and therefore heathens, you can be assured that Jonah would not have been overly friendly to the other men on the boat. He was one of God's chosen people and probably would not have been very open or very friendly. He certainly would not have told them that he was a prophet of God. He would not have gotten on board and said, "Hey guys, I'm a prophet, don't mind me." No, he would have never done that. In fact, he no doubt would have gone to great lengths to keep that part of his life from being exposed. But when the storm came, everything came out for all to see and for all to know. Once the storm hit and the lots were cast, Jonah was exposed and his true colors were clearly seen by everyone. And you know the amazing thing to me, and I hope you paid attention to it while I was reading this, the amazing thing to me is the kindness that they still had towards Jonah, even though they found out he was the problem. Even after Jonah told them who he was and that he was running from God, they tried to salvage the situation. Could they have thought that by throwing God's prophet overboard that they would anger the prophet's God even further? I don't know. I don't know what was running through their mind. But I do know that they tried as hard as they could to help him to salvage the situation. They showed kindness to their passenger that nobody in Joppa would have given them credit for. But yet they did it. But I want you to notice that finally the moment came when Jonah was exposed. God saw to it that he exposed what was in Jonah's heart. Look at the 7th verse, please. They cast lots to try to figure out why this was happening. You say, "Well, Pastor, why did they cast lots?" Because that's all they knew. That's all they understood. You say, why didn't they pray? They didn't know to pray. They're heathens. They just did what heathens do. They rolled the dice. Yeah. They rolled the dice. They didn't know the Lord. And notice that God saw to it that the lot fell on Jonah, exposing him as the reason for the judgment from the Lord. The point is, folks, God saw to it that the light shined upon Jonah as the problem. Does not our Bible tell us, "Behold, your sin will find you out"? I mean, what is on the inside will eventually expose itself. You know, the filthy mind will eventually show itself filthy. A rebellious heart will eventually show itself rebellious. A deceitful heart will eventually be exposed. And we can be assured that the Lord will lead us in such a path that sooner or later, what we are will be truly known. Now, I think all of us ought to be thankful that we're living in New Testament times. Amen. And when God calls today and we run, there's usually not a cyclone that forms over our heads. Although I have had some folks tell me some hair-raising stories. I'm not saying that God cannot or would not do this, but I've been in the ministry too long and I've seen my share of Jonahs who have been dealt with by God. I think I told you the story about several years ago, a preacher friend of mine told me that he had a young man in his church, and God called that young man into the ministry. And he said, "I don't want to be in the ministry. I've got a good job and I've got a good retirement and I don't want to be a preacher." But the Lord kept working on him and finally he surrendered and he came forward. And he thought to himself, "Got this behind me now. I went this far with it. I don't have to go any further than this. And although he made it public to the church and asked everyone to pray for him as he sought the will of God, in his heart he had no intentions of ever going into the ministry. And he kept getting promotions at his job. You know, the devil will see to it that you get an aversion of some sort. And finally, one day, the phone rang, and it was his wife, and their little baby just suddenly died of sudden infant death syndrome. Just a little baby, an infant. Oh, it crushed his soul. And my preacher friend said that that was the hardest funeral he's ever had to do. And he said the family was all seated at the front. And he preached the message. And when he preached the message, he walked down off the platform and stood at the head of the casket for folks to come by and pay their last respects. And after everyone left the room, he said that dad walked over and he picked that little baby up out of that casket and he held it up to the Lord. And he said, God, I can do it now. With tears streaming down his face. God, I can do it now. You see, you mean God would do something like that? I don't know. I don't know. I would certainly not stand back, point my finger and say, oh, God did that. But in that man's heart, God did it. I don't know, folks, how God is going to deal with those that run from him. But I do know that you can't run from God and be successful. Christian, it is the height of foolishness to run from God. Let me ask you, is God calling you to some Nineveh? Maybe some of our young people here. Do you hear the word of the Lord calling you into the ministry or to the mission field? Do you hear the Holy Spirit's call to your heart? Let's learn from Jonah that there is no use in trying to run from God's best for your life. If God has a Nineveh for you, you will only find God's best in Nineveh. If God has a Nineveh for you, you will only find God's best in Nineveh. There's no use running from God.